It's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN. Talking sports on your ride home. Powered by Reuben James Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Periwinkles in downtown Burlington. Visit them online at periwinkles.com. Here's Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
Good afternoon. You're in the Huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN live at McGillicuddy's in Colchester. You better get out of here now. We're going to be doing the show from 4 to 6, Brady from 6 to 7, and then, of course, the UVM game. You'll hear the pregame at 7. It will start about 7:27, 7:30. We will be here all night long at McGillicuddy's in Colchester. Rich, are you pumped up or what?
That may literally be true, especially if the away team, I guess they're the away team, officially wins the game tonight. If UVM wins that game, I don't think anybody's going anywhere.
If UVM wins, Rich is buying drinks for everybody. Oh, yeah, Rich, there you go.
And Arnie will only have Coke because you don't drink, Arnie, because you're no fun.
Tonight, wow, no fun. Well, I was going to save this for later, but notice how when we all ordered lunch, Brady decided to eat away from us, and we were sitting together, Rich. I can't understand that. I got a table for eight. I guess there was not enough room for us.
And once again, you ordered exactly the same thing I did. I mean, right down to the condiments, basically. So you're that guy. I mean, if I ordered a liver burger anchovies, would you get that?
I would go with the liver burger, but I don't like anchovies, though. I do like liver, though. I do liver and ketchup. So, no, I'm serious. I'm getting you sick now. All right. Anyway, come on down to McGillicuddy's. You don't have to get the liver, though. They've got all kinds of food specials. They got drink specials, thanks to our friends here at McGillicuddy's and, of course, Baker Distributing. By the way, St. Patrick's Day, of course, tomorrow. So all kinds of Guinness stuff, Guinness specials going on. We're going to be giving away around the golf at the Basin Harbor with a cart, Rich, so you don't have to walk because we know you're very lazy.
Oh, yeah, that's...
You don't even golf, Rich. You should.
Yeah, you're going out there.
Maybe the winner of the golf trip could take you and teach you how to play.
Well, or mini golf. I could try that.
Yeah, there you go.
Are you good at that?
Mini golf?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's always so random. are you good at curling?
Come out, get qualified for the... Wow, you're ripping curling already. Get qualified for the raffle.
Just saying,
win it. We'll be here in Colchester at McGillicuddy, so stop on by. Plus, like I said, we're going to be watching the UVM-Purdue game. A little nervous, though. I mean, I'm excited. To me, always for the upset, whenever you want to get these big, whatever the seeds are, you know, whatever they are at the time, 15 over 2 or 14 over 3, whatever it is, you got to always be right there at the half. You have to be winning at the half or at least tied at the half to get the other team nervous and start feeling it. If you're like down by 8-10, it's very tough to make that
I don't know. It's funny because you saw the lunatic that I was before the Super Bowl, and it never gets old with the Patriots in the Super Bowl. But with this, I'm not the least bit nervous. I'm just anxious to see what it's going to be. I mean, are they going to somehow pull off the upset? Are they going to keep it within single digits? Or are they going to lose by 35 points?
Big boy.
No, I'm just saying I don't have any expectations. Purdue is loaded. They're a very tough matchup. And I just am like, as John Becker was saying, you know, after they got off the plane the other day, they're playing with house money. You know, nobody really has any grand plans like, oh, okay, well, it's time for UVM to move on to the second round. I hear the term Syracuse bandied around a lot the last couple of days, but that's unfair expectations, I think.
Yeah, there's no pressure on UVM or on any of their fans here who are watching the game with us. I mean, there's a lot of hope, but there's no expectation. Nationally, there are some people who think UVM is capable of pulling the upsets, and obviously the Ryan Russillos of the world have helped get the UVM name out there on this station. Well, everyone appreciates that. They're a 10-point underdog for a reason, but I think they're fully capable of coming out playing well, and we'll get into the game and the matchup and all that. But I think they're fully capable of being in this game and competitive in the last 5 minutes.
By the way, just a little side note. Since you mentioned Syracuse. Did you see the Syracuse game? You know, Jim Boeheim, I don't know how many more years he has left. Some people say, who knows if he doesn't call it quits after this year? Who knows if he doesn't call it quits after next year? You know, how many years does he have left? What did you say, Rich? Wouldn't that be great if Coach Becker ended up at Syracuse? Whoa! No. Whoa!
I don't think you ever said that.
No, he didn't.
I've never even had that thought in my head for 1 second.
But you know what, though? We should.
Why? Think about, why would we want that?
Syracuse has the replacement name for Boeheim.
Who would that be?
It's his top assistant, Watson or something.
I don't know, because I got to tell you something. No, I'm just saying if they won, I don't know. I would think that he's going to be up for a considerable amount
of Hopkins.
Jobs. Hopkins. I would think he'd be – I thought he'd be perfect for somebody like Syracuse, unless, as Brady said, they've got their successor name. But I got to tell you, could you imagine him taking over a program like that, a coach like Coach Becker, and he's a good recruiter? I think Syracuse fans would – die for somebody like that. No?
Gosh, sure. That's the last thing on my mind tonight. I think the perfect school for John Becker, I don't know. How about Vermont?
No. And of course, you know what I mean. But look, if he does win and he wins again, you're getting into the Sweet 16. You see what happens with coaches that take their team to the Sweet 16.
Well, bottom line, yes, Hopkins is the successor to Boeheim and Syracuse.
Too bad, though. Yeah.
If you're if you really want to go down this road that early in the show, understand that the NC State job is open. The Washington job is now open.
There are
conference jobs open for teams that have been at the bottom of their league that are more logical steps for John Becker than Syracuse.
It just seems it's always tough to bring a coach from one end all the way to the other. You know what I mean? People are like, who's this guy, Vermont? Is that part of the United States? I don't know.
I mean, you wonder, too. He has kids, you know, in Burlington. They've grown up here. I mean, he's been here for quite a while when you include – you know, after leaving Catholic University. He's been here for quite a while as an assistant, as a head coach. His kids have grown up in Burlington, and I don't know how much that matters. And obviously UVM's going to have to pony up to the likes of which they've never ponied up before. But you know what? At this point, with the buzz in this town and the possible new arena,
that's big.
You think that they want him in the Catbird seat moving forward?
And I'm starting to think that Vermont is not as a, you know, people say, well, it's a starter job. You move up from that. I'm not so sure about that. By the way, as we're watching all the NCAA tournament games, we did move the games that are going on right now over to 960 The Zone. But we will keep you updated on what's going on. We know the one close game going on is the Florida and East Tennessee game. Rich, do you have a, because I know you have the scores up there. If you give me a score when you can. I think it was like a 3-point game or something like that, close to the half.
Yeah, close to the half. East Tennessee State staying in it. The best game of the early part of the day was the Princeton and Notre Dame game. Princeton had two chances to take, you know, to potentially get the lead or the win at the end. They missed a three right around the buzzer. Princeton had a good chance at that.
I watched most of the game. I left with about 3 minutes left because I had to come into the station. I heard, at least on the play-by-play, because I was listening in the car, they're like, Kennedy was wide open, even though it was like a couple feet behind the three-point line.
Yeah.
They said he was wide open for the three. I didn't see it, but he could have nailed it.
And Kennedy's a kid who has had two games this year with 7 three-pointers in one game. He's done it twice this year. A wide-open look. It couldn't have been set up more perfect, and he just missed it, and that's going to haunt that kid's dreams.
By the way, that Florida-East Tennessee game tied at 30 with 3 minutes 15 seconds left first half. So that's the one close one, even though West Virginia has a 9-point lead over Bucknell, and that game at the half, 42-33.
Is your bracket perfect yet? Did you successfully get in our bracket challenge finally?
Yes, I successfully
After yesterday,
it.
You called me saying, how do I do it?
I did lose one already, so I'm off to a bad start. I had
already?
NC Wilmington over Virginia, but I only had NC Wilmington winning one game, so that doesn't kill me. I do have Bucknell beating West Virginia.
Did you seriously take Wilmington over, really?
So you must be winning $1 million with your perfect bracket, right?
Well, right now I think I'm 2-0. Or something like that.
Yeah, 2-0 with 4 games. You better check your bracket.
Oh, actually, no. I had Butler losing.
There you go. Yeah.
You had Butler losing to Winthrop?
To Winthrop, yeah.
So did I, actually. So we've all got a loss. Arnie, what was your final four? Look, we had over 300 people join the bracket challenge.
Get out of here.
We had over 300. It was pushing 350 at last check. I didn't give it the final look, but you know, 350 people that are fans of ours, I didn't know there were that many.
I didn't know that either. I thought
there'd
be three.
Here at Burlington and the Champlain Valley. You had people calling me at work up until about 11:57. How do I do it? How do I get in?
I told you. I was trying to figure it out also.
350 people figured it out.
I saw stuff on my email account today. It's like, I'm saying Huddle isn't working. Why? I guess you have to hit capital H.
Capital H, yes. People were texting me on my phone, the guys we play basketball with. They're saying, like, oh, I can't figure it out.
So what was your final four?
I had SMU as my one sleeper into the final four. Of course, I had my Arizona Wildcats. I did take Kansas over Oregon. I really wanted to put a full Pac-12 in there. And I took UCLA over North Carolina, Arizona, and Kansas in the finals with Arizona winning it all, of course, with my Wildcats.
Rich, what do you have?
I don't know. Can you hand me this?
I don't know.
All I know as I told. I mean, I literally put it together in 3 minutes. I just, yeah, they have nice. What
really good research there.
Maybe do auto pick or something like that.
Do you really think over researching this is the best idea?
Absolutely.
Doesn't that receptionist who never watches basketball in the front office?
You should have asked her. It would have taken her more than 3 minutes.
UCLA, I do remember picking.
I had UCLA winning it over Gonzaga.
Really?
Well, Gonzaga, they looked bad in the first half. They were horrible, man. They were just miserable in the first half, but they're pulling away right now. So, like we said, we're live at McGillicuddy's in Colchester. Stop on by. And remember, for St. Patrick's Day, we're going to be live at McGillicuddy's in Williston. Let's go to Nick, who's up out in Plattsburgh. Nick, good afternoon. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN. What's up, Nick? Talk to us, Nick.
Nick is at the games in Orlando right now.
Oh, get out of here. He went to the games?
Nick is at the NCAA tournament. So, Nick, if you're there, speak. I know where you are.
Nick. Oh, Nick can't hear us, man. How great is that? Oh, so, going down to Orlando. Now, did he just go to – he happened to be down there?
He was going to Orlando. He was really hoping UVM would be in Orlando because he had his vacation picked. But he and I have been going back and forth, and he was like, I'm going to call you guys from the games here. And he's at this – I think Florida, if I'm correct. I think Florida is in Orlando.
Florida and these Tennessee State games. So how cool would that have been if Vermont went in? Because once they didn't end up in Buffalo, it was either going to be Milwaukee or Orlando. Would have been the two other closest ones. So I guess he fell short on that. That's too bad.
It's pretty funny when you're getting a 3-foot blizzard at home, so your choice to get away are Buffalo and Milwaukee. It's like doesn't seem like much of a getaway, but in fact, as it turns out, it was. So.
And you guys know I'm waiting for that first upset because I don't want Arizona playing today. With no upsets going on, and then of course Arizona gets knocked off, and then I'm not coming into work tomorrow if Arizona loses.
Yeah, did you hear that?
I go into a dark corner. Yeah. I sit there in the fetal position, sometimes naked, and I just start crying, and takes a long time to overcome that.
If Arizona loses, we're all working tomorrow, and we're all wearing North Dakota jerseys.
Oh, jeez, man! Can you? If that happens, if there's ever been a major team to get upset, I told you, Arizona lost to Miami of Ohio, Arizona lost to Santa Clara. Arizona lost to there was one other team. It's such a blur now. I mean, they've been upset 3 times in the NCAA tournament, and each one's like a painful knife through my jugular. I want you to know that. All right, we got a lot to get to as we're live at McGillicuddy's in Colchester. Stop on by. We'll start breaking down that UVM game. Do they have problems?
Into the yoga studio. You got a truck for a reason, remember? So get some Firestone tires and go do truck stuff. Why just explore your inner self when Firestone Destination LE2 is built for 60,000 miles of truck stuff. So get out as far as you can. Drive down to the Amazon, tool around the muck. Bring back a previously undiscovered type of mud mask. Find your truck tires at FirestoneTire.com. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Steve. 101.3 ESPN.
Thursday, a mix of sun and clouds with upsloped mountain snow showers. High temp, low 20s. Northwest wind, 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Low in the single digits to near 10 degrees. Friday, mostly sunny and just a tad milder. Upper 20s to near 30. With your forecast on 101.3 ESPN, I'm meteorologist Amanda Lindquist. Local 22, Local 44 News.
It's 28 degrees at 101.3 ESPN.
When you need it bad, we've got it good. Rich and Arnie in the huddle. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. We are live at McGillicuddy's in Colchester. What are you waiting for? Get down here. Matter of fact, I have a brilliant idea. Oh. I'll see if I can pull this off. We should just keep this place open 24 hours. And we start with the UV game after UVM wins tonight. We just hang out till St. Paddy's Day, which starts at midnight officially. And we just make one big, long weekend fest. What do you think about that, Rich?
That's true. It is true. It is St. Patrick's Day at 12:01.
Just keep it going. Yeah. If they didn't have a – what time do bars close? What time do they
leave? That would be 2 a.m. in many of them. I guess it depends. We're in the suburbs.
I hate it.
So
when
that's
I went,
a little earlier.
When I went to college – it was always 1 a.m. But the drinking age was 18, but it was 1 a.m. And they play the music was closing and closing time, get the hell out and all that. Whatever.
Just tell people where we're going to be tomorrow,
yes,
actually.
We'll be at the McGillicuddy's in Williston tomorrow for St. Patrick's Day, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Come on by, see the show, and enjoy that. UVM tonight. I got to completely be honest with you. I felt good when I first saw the matchup. Maybe it's because Purdue was coming off this quarterfinal loss to Michigan. And I knew that they had won the Big Ten, but I didn't know they were the seventh best three-point shooting team in the entire country. I just thought they were a bunch of bigs inside that could pound you and, you know, do a good job on the boards and finally wear you down like a lot of the bigs do. I'm worried about this matchup, but then again, as I told Brady and as I told you guys yesterday, Vermont has to shoot more three-pointers than they've ever shot in a game before. That's the only way I see them beating a team like this. They've got to rain three-pointers down, Brady. They've got to go ahead and forget about how many they got to make. They got to shoot like 30 of them or 25 of them or something.
It's not so much about playing out of character. What they need is they need their big guys. Peyton Henson and Anthony Lamb are by far the most important components to this game for UVM for two reasons. One, on the defensive end, because of Purdue's size, 7'2" with the one kid, and then Caleb Swanigan, who leads the nation in double-doubles, they need to play effective defense, and they need to be on the floor. They cannot get in foul trouble. That's key one. And key two, if Purdue has one weakness, it's that all that size does not like to guard away from the basket. So if Henson and Lamb can stretch the defense and shoot some threes, that will open up the rest of the offense. So they need to hit some threes. It doesn't necessarily need to be 30 threes taken, but those guys, they've got to hit a couple between the two of them.
And the other thing is they're obviously going to have to hit threes and hit them early. You can't have Ernie Duncan doing a 1-for-8 tonight. And we kind of haven't really talked about this much, but he's had a tough time in a lot of games. He had the 33 in the Hofstra game, but if you look at the box scores in most of those games, his shooting has been off in a lot of games. I've seen a lot of 1-for-5s, 2-for-7s, and he is almost an exclusive three-point shooter. He cannot go 1-for-8. You can't have the team going 6-for-28 from beyond the arc tonight, or they're dead meat.
You think this is one of the few times Vermont actually has to take the air out of the ball? I'm not saying play like Albany, but maybe slow it down a little bit, or do you want to get into a running game with a team like this because they got a bunch of bigs and you want to beat them before they get set?
You just have to do it. You have to do the same recipe that we talk about all the time when you want to pull an upset. Vermont has to limit turnovers. That's number one. You can't win this game with 20 turnovers. You're going to have to turn it over 10 times or less probably to be in the game. You also have to get to the free throw line and hit your free throws. You know, 11 for 24 doesn't win today. 11 for 19 doesn't win today. It's got to be 18 for 20. You've got to shoot well from the outside, as we've said. And then you need a contribution from somebody that you don't usually get it from. Maybe that's Dre Wills gets 14 instead of 6. Maybe that is Drew Urquhart comes off the bench and gets 6 instead of 0. Something else has to happen. There has to be an X factor.
I think that Urquhart's going to be a factor. I talked about this yesterday because I think he's going to get some serious minutes tonight because I think Swanigan's going to draw fouls underneath. And I just, you're right about the foul situation. You cannot get Henson with two fouls in the first 4 minutes of this game or they're in big trouble. But if a guy like Urquhart can come in, we're not asking him to put up 20 and 10, but if he can put up 8 and 5, that would be a huge help.
The thing I would do if I were Purdue right off the bat is I would do two things. On the offensive end, you go right at Lamb, you go right at Henson, you try to get them in foul trouble early. And the second thing is I would pressure the ball a lot. Now, obviously they know and we know how good Trey Bell Haynes is at orchestrating the offense. You got to come out and try to blitz this team and get out. If Purdue gets up to a 10-2 lead, that's the best start that they can hope for. They need to put some pressure on the ball, so UVM needs to be ready.
I was just thinking that on the other side. If you're Vermont, you don't want to press because if they beat the press and you got the bigs inside, one thing that bothers me is I hate teams that break a press and then will hold the ball outside and set up their offense. If you're going to break a press, push it right to the basket. They've got bigs. The bigs can slam, get easy buckets. That's the last thing Vermont's going to want to go ahead and do.
Just looking at the Nationals' outlook on this, just getting neutral voices watching a little bit last night.
People like Vermont.
The one thing they said is that Vermont's only chance is to outquick them. Purdue is a huge team. You talk about the 7'2 kid. You talk about Swanigan, who's what, 6'10 or
6'9,
whatever.
6'10, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you've got all this size. You've got a couple of 6'8s in there. You got a 6'6 kid. I mean, the roster, they've got 2 7'2" kids on the roster. I don't know if the other one plays, but so they said the only way you could do it is to outquick him. And how do you outquick him? You push it up the floor. And that's where a guy like Trey Bell Haynes, if he can find any daylight, could have a a great game tonight.
You need to push it up the floor, but also take smart shots, right? It's the best shot, not the closest shot. And that's something I was always taught when you're playing. UVM, if they can get in the lane and kick out to spot-up jump shooters, because Kurt Steidel and Ernie Duncan, they don't go well off the bounce. They're very, very good with their feet set in the corner, catch-and-shoot shooters. If Trabel Haynes can get in the lane, draw some pressure, and then kick out off that penetration, that's where UVM has a chance.
A question now. Is this a away game you consider for Vermont because of the people from Purdue? When did we find out it was a 3.5 hour drive?
I think he said it was about 2.5, 3 hours.
Okay, so let's face it, it's going to be a big Purdue contingency out there, so it's going to be a big Purdue loud crowd. Is that going to affect Vermont or not really? Because it's not like it's that home cooking that you get with that crowd.
And Vermont is totally used to this. I mean, Butler with their historic, what's it called, Hinman Hall out
Hinkle Fieldhouse,
Hinman Hall. I had the atrium. And, you know, and then places like that, South Carolina, obviously, holds, you know, 10, 15,000 people. They're used to this. I mean, they played at the Dunk down there in Providence. I don't think they had 12,000 people there that night. But it's not like these guys haven't been in large arenas before. And they got there a couple days ago. They've had plenty of chance to sort of feel the vibe of the Bradley Center. They know what it's all about.
The thing that's different about this game is a couple things. One, UVM has an Indiana contingent on their team. They have a Midwest contingent. Cam Ward is from Wisconsin. The Duncans and Josh Spidell, Dre Wills are all from Indiana. So there's going to be not only current fans of the team from this region who have traveled, there's going to be some of those guys who bring a crowd. And don't forget this. It doesn't matter where you are. Whenever there's a potential upset, the crowd gravitates towards the upset. If Vermont is up 6 with 4 to play, this is going to be such a pro-Vermont crowd that it's not going to matter.
And boy, did that ever happen. I'll never forget the Syracuse win. I mean, I don't know if you noticed that. You know, I don't know what you remember about that game, but it got
from the parking lot!
It got more and more pro-Vermont from the people who had no, who couldn't have cared less who really won the game, because they started realizing that, wow, Syracuse couldn't get knocked off.
Was Tom Brennan coaching, or was he just cheerleading? I couldn't tell.
Oh, I'm teasing. It was a combo of a lot, believe me. I'll never forget that look on his face when Sorrentine hit that shot.
Now I'm going to get people, it's getting tougher and tougher to listen to Artie when he makes asinine comments like that. You're in the huddle with Rich and Artie right here at 101.3 ESPN.
You mean you've heard that?
Yeah, I've heard that. It was on Facebook just yesterday.
Go figure.
We're live in McGillicuddy in Colchester. Come on out. We're going to be here till 6. Brady doing the show from 6 till 7. Then the pregame show, and then we're all going to watch the Vermont game from 7:30 to 9:30. Brady, what's going on with Dante Hightower? Because yesterday, we thought it was a 4-year, $43.5 million deal, but it's not as high as we thought.
No, that deal that we thought was $43.5 million was really $32 million, and that $10 million-plus discrepancy comes from all these incentives that Hightower has to hit. So really, true base value of the contract, $32 million. And each season, there are some health-related bonuses based on him being active. So $3.5 million
so that's a done deal.
Of that remaining 11, 10.5, 11 comes from health. And then the remaining $8 million gap is based on playing time, Pro Bowl, first-team All-Pro incentives, which are not slam-dunk gimme. So the Pats seem to have made out well again.
Unbelievable. And I mean, the thing about building any sort of health deal into a contract is a dangerous line to walk for a guy like Hightower, who has not always been able to stay healthy.
He missed three games this year. Yeah. He's missed games, you know, I believe in each season that he's played. He's 26 years old. So just say he reaches half of those incentives. Now you're looking at he really, you know, really ends up being 38 instead of 43. And the Pats seem to have, considering Jamie Collins got $53 million guaranteed or $50 million guaranteed, the Pats made out well.
And the lower these numbers go, the more you realize, and it really drives the point home, that Hightower wasn't going anywhere.
Hey, the first question I'd like to ask Malcolm Butler is, how come they want to keep everybody but you? I'm just kind of curious. How is that going to work over with that?
Yeah, huh? We were saying that about Hightower a couple of days
ago.
Everybody on ESPN is like, why isn't Hightower drawing more interest? I think it's because the league saw the obvious. He wanted to stay in New England. The Butler situation, I'm not getting the vibe he cares where he is, and I know he's not happy at all. He's made that very clear about the Gilmore deal.
The Gilmore deal, that set everything back right away. There was a problem right there and then. After that, you knew it wasn't going to go ahead and end up well. All right, I know we had some calls. My bad not getting into them right away. If you want to jump in, 655-6672, 655-6672. Is Rob still there, Willie? If you want to go to Rob? Rob, you're in the huddle with Richard Arnie at 101.3 ESPN. Hello. What's going on, Rob?
Hello?
Rob. I can hear him breathing. I hear you breathing. All right, well, Rob obviously can't hear us. So
well, he's probably asleep after waiting on hold for 20 minutes. I'm sorry.
One other story I wanted to get to. By the way, we got all the games on here.
There he is.
There you are, Rob. Talk to us, Rob.
How you doing, fellas? What's up, Ernie?
Good, Rob. What's going on, my friend?
You already know what day it is. It's March Madness time.
Who's your team, Rob? You coming out to watch the Vermont game or what?
I'm actually going to be coaching in Albany this weekend. No.
So, no. I'll come with you, though. I'll go home for the weekend.
There you go. All right, Rob. Next time, you'll have to make plans and better plans for that and come on out. All right,
20
guys,
minutes on hold for that.
Yeah, I mean, come on now. Real quick, I wanted to get to one story because the Celtics, and I saw what happened today in Indiana where Tom Crean got fired. And now, and I saw what you put here, Brady, that should Brad Stevens be a good fit for the Indiana coaching job? Let me tell you something. If I'm Brad Stevens, I wouldn't be able to pack my bags fast enough to get out of here.
Why?
I've made my money. Because what are you really accomplishing here in Boston?
Well, you haven't accomplished anything yet.
It's always going to be a Patriots town. It's always going to be a Red Sox
stop.
Town. You're never going to get the front pages. It's never going to be the day of...
That's ridiculous.
No, that's not ridiculous
They've
at all.
They've sold out every game for 10 years.
That's so big deal. That's not what it's about. It's always going to be about the Patriots. It's always going to be about the Red Sox. If I'm him, I want to go to a town where basketball is king. Basketball is not going to be king here like it is in Indiana.
Well, if you're putting it up against Indiana, that's
well, that's
tough.
The that job that's open.
Right, but you can't tell me that the Celtics are irrelevant in Boston right
no,
now.
No, I'm not saying irrelevant.
I mean, when they won that championship with KG and Pierce and Ray Allen, that place was on fire for about 4 months.
What's he trying to accomplish? You're not going to get by Cleveland. If you do, you're not going to get by Golden State. At least that's what you guys told me at the beginning of the year, right?
Right, but don't you think there's an attraction for Brad Stevens to continue to climb that ladder? And, I mean, they're showing signs, certainly, that he is climbing that ladder. Don't you think he wants to get to the top of the hill before he bails out?
And he's only 40 years old. So, yes, I think there's a desire to get to the top of the hill. And if he doesn't realize that potential, like John Calipari didn't and like Rick Pitino didn't, he could always go back. But you once you leave the NBA, you're not getting back in. So if you want to make this work, you have to stay. The appeal here is a couple things. One, Stevens is from Indianapolis, so does he want to go home? He coached at Butler, so there's this in-state connection there to him from where he grew up and to where he's had success coaching. Stevens has said flat out, he goes, I want to be here. Yeah. I have no interest in going back to college. He goes, it felt like a whole other life to me coaching in college. And look, coaching in the pros has a lot of challenges, dealing with egos, dealing with salaries, dealing with players coming and going a lot. Coaching in college is a far different animal. I don't know if Brad Stevens wants to go out and recruit and try to go out and sit in someone's living room in Florida.
I'll tell you what, he made his money here in Boston. Isn't it an easier life, though, when you're a college coach or something? And I know there's a lot of pressure in Indiana. But if he wins in Indiana, all of a sudden he's God down there. I got to really think about this one hard. I just can't dismiss it. And like you, Richard, just say, oh, it's got to be the Celtics. I think there's a lot to think about here for Brad Stevens.
Well, I said it was got to be the Celtics until I heard that Indiana was on the list here. I mean, that's obviously very, very attractive. I mean, that's one of the plum jobs, no question about it, in all of
They made,
of
what,
basketball,
was it three but, Sweet 16s in the last 6 years?
Right, but the thing is, to me, and we don't know what's going on in his mind. For all I know, I mean, he's a pretty emotionless guy. We have no idea what he's thinking. Maybe he's miserable in Boston. You don't know. You can't tell. Maybe he doesn't like the egos he's dealing with. But if he is unhappy, he sure isn't showing it. And this, to me, is a classic case of a coach feeling like we've got unfinished business here. Let's finish it off. Then maybe I'll go somewhere after I've climbed the hill.
Well, he says, look, the only thing people call me about for in regard to college jobs is to ask questions about candidates that they have. Everybody has a pretty good idea of where I stand, and I think ultimately I'm going to be here. I think that's pretty well known. The Celtics are building something. They've got young draft picks coming in. And remember this. Don't ever take this for granted, Arnie, because you're right. If he left and went to Indiana and won, he would be a god there. But he's a basketball coach. He loves to coach. You can't outweigh the fact that he's going to get 2.5 times more games, and by the time the playoffs come, 3 times more games in the NBA than you get in college basketball. He likes to coach.
He likes to coach, but and look, I know this is crazy, but we're talking about the NBA, but he's never going to win a championship.
Really?
He could win a championship with Indiana. He's not going to win a championship as long as they have that super team with the Golden State Warriors and as long as LeBron's around.
Yeah, but you can't. How can you not see the Boston job as appealing with what's on the horizon? I mean, they've got probably the number one pick coming out next year. They've got Brooklyn's number one pick, maybe the number one pick again the following year. They got 8 million more draft picks to choose from.
You might get Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that they have tons of money to spend in free agency. I mean, is there a better gig to be in today than coaching the Boston Celtics?
What is a better gig overall? Is it the Celtics in regards to the NBA, or is it Indiana in regards to... I mean, where does Indiana fall? I have to imagine the Celtics and the Lakers are in the Knicks. Those three jobs would be the most premier jobs in the NBA.
I don't know about the Knicks
anymore. One of those has any hope for the future.
No, I'm just saying... No, I know that. But the Celtics, the Knicks, the Lakers, those three franchises, yes, I think, are the most glorified positions in the NBA. Where does Indiana rank in college? Is that the number one job? If every single job was open... And you wanted to, and you could go anywhere you wanted. Is Indiana the place that you go?
Historically, romantically, I bet it's right at the top.
Well, but Duke overall, is
Kentucky,
right up there.
Duke is North Carolina.
But Duke, you're replacing Coach K. Remember what they say: you don't want to replace the guy; you want to be replacing the guy that replaces the guy. You know what I mean? You don't want to have to follow up Coach K. That's pretty tough to do, to be honest with you. So
no, but that's I got to admit that would be a great gig, especially in Indiana's situation right now. Do you want to be the Theo Epstein who finally got the Red Sox to the top, then went to the Cubs and did the impossible there too? Get the Celtics to the top, then go to Indiana.
Brady, what's coming up on Champlain Valley game night tonight?
A whole packed show. Again, we're live at McGillicuddy's. I'll be here 6 to 7. We'll have Brian Neubert, who is a Purdue basketball insider from goldenblack.com. We'll get the final scouting report on the Boilermakers and Cats tonight.
Brady had a chance to catch up with Kurt Heelan, lead writer at Pro Football Talk.
That's Pro Basketball Talk.
I'll get it right. That's for sure.
I thought he was a lacrosse guy.
Yeah, I thought it was for Pro Basketball Talk. We'll see what Brady and Kurt Heelan had to talk about. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Coming up tomorrow on Mike and Mike in the Morning.
He let you get a word in. The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back here in the huddle on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Yes, today is the first day of the NCAA tournament. We are all pumped for that. But there's still other basketball going on. The NBA heading in towards the stretch run. And to talk about that, we go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line and find ourselves Kurt Heelan, who's the lead basketball writer at Pro Basketball Talk. And Kurt, let's get right to this. The Celtics, we're an affiliate of the Celtics. I have no idea if they're going to finish first in the East, fourth in the East, or somewhere in between. What's your read on the Celtics?
Well, I still think they finished probably second. I think that Washington's actually had a couple stumbles lately. Hopefully, you know, for Boston's sake, if they can just be consistent and get the wins. I don't know if they're going to catch Cleveland. I just get the sense that if anybody actually really threatens Cleveland, they'll just kick it up a gear, that they have this thing where they are able, you know, they have that LeBron guy. He's pretty good. they'll just be able to find another gear and hold on. But look, what you really want to avoid, and I think this is where Toronto is going to end up, you want to avoid that four seed. You don't want Cleveland in the second round. If you're able to get the 2-3 seed, it's not going to be, you know, you'll win the first round. It's a tough second round because Washington's good, but you can advance out of that and get to the conference finals, and that'd be a big step.
Are the Celtics going to regret not doing anything at the trade deadline?
No, but I'm looking at that beyond this year. Would they be better off than now if they had gone and gotten somebody? And I don't. By the way, like Paul George and getting somebody like that was much harder than, like, he wasn't really available as much as people want to believe it. He was. Indiana doesn't want to move him. Indiana wants to keep him. They hope he makes an All NBA team so they can offer him a ton of money. They weren't ready to make that move, but could they have gotten somebody to help them? It wouldn't hurt. I think the challenge for Boston in the playoffs is this. If I'm, and let's get to the second round. Let's say it's Washington. I'm going to grunt at Isaiah Thomas every time down the floor. I'm going to make him work on defense. I'm going to try to post him up whenever I can. I'm going to make it difficult because I've got, especially when you've got, you know, Washington with a really big, good guards, it's going to be a challenge for Boston to overcome that. Not that they can't, but it's going to be harder to do. You don't have the other option. You could use the other scoring, you know, playmaker. But I think that that's going to end up being a move for this summer. If Paul George doesn't get on an All-NBA team, I think all those talks get revisited. Gordon Hayward's obviously out there as a free agent. There'll be options this summer that just, things tend like that tend not to get done at the deadline unless you're in Sacramento and you'll sell somebody for a whack of two-round basketballs.
Another team that I want to ask, will they regret something? Will the Warriors regret letting all of their depth walk, or a lot of their depth walk, in order to sign Kevin Durant? As great as Durant is, now that he's out, you're seeing kind of the lack of depth on that Golden State team. Will they regret letting the Festus Ezeli's and the Mo Spates go?
I don't think so, but that comes with the caveat. Yes, it's obviously hurting them now, although what's really hurting them now is, what the heck happened to Steph Curry? Like, he is shooting, I think it's 30% over his last eight games from three. If you watched the last game where they had to come back on the Sixers, for three quarters, he just missed open shots. It was very un-Steph. He's got to get that going for them to have a chance. Now, that said, what I think they get with Durant, and we saw this over the course of the years, and like the second game they played against Cleveland when they blew him out, with Durant and their shortened playoff rotations, their highs are higher than last year. They are a more dangerous team when they can tighten the rotation, keep everybody on the floor, and really go, because Durant brings so much to their offensive game. Plus, he's played, I think, his best defensive season ever for them. So I think their highs are higher in a playoff series, but you see it right now. You're right. They miss it right now. I just don't think they're going to miss it as much come May.
Is there something – I was checking out your Twitter feed. Is there something else going on with the Warriors? Is there some kind of internal strife going on that's contributing to this little lull that they're in?
There has been some talk that some of the guys aren't, like, our problems are, you know, the quote was that there are certain people in the locker room saying, hey, our problems are bigger than just basketball. There's some stuff going on, which leads to some fascinating speculation if you want to go down that road. But I'm like I said, when I've seen them perform at a high level, everything seems to click and they're okay. Is this a disgruntled guy sitting at the end of the bench who would want more time, or is it... I don't know. I could sit here and speculate on, you know, guys in that locker room who tend to be passive aggressive and disgruntled at times, whose names you know and might want out, but I don't think it ended up impacting them. Like I said, I just think if Durant gets back and by the second round of the playoffs is healthy enough to trust that knee again, which is a legitimate question, that team is good.
Kurt Helan, lead basketball writer for Pro Basketball Talk, with us here on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. Look, as we talk about the NCAA tournament, we're going to get the nation's going to get the look at Lonzo Ball tomorrow when he plays for UCLA, and a lot has been made of Lonzo Ball and his family. Look at just Lonzo Ball. Where does he project as an NBA player? Should he be the number one pick in the draft?
No, Fultz is going to be number one. Every scout I've talked to out of Washington who's not in the tournament, and a lot of people aren't going to get to see him because Washington, you know, it's just kind of the Ben Simmons thing from last year. It's like, unless you happen to catch him in certain games, you just didn't. He wasn't on national TV a lot. But I haven't talked to a team or scout that doesn't have him kind of a clear number one just because of his, much like Simmons, ability to play make with size and do some stuff. Ball is... His shot's a little funky, but the guy just gets the shot off. He's got this weird, brings it to his left side thing. But can get his shot off, scores points, knows how to run the point, knows how to make plays, is physical, is going to be a very good or good to very good NBA player. And he'll fit right in. And look, talent trump, man. Talent trumps guys in every sport. Like, yo, his dad's going to be a pain. Yeah, but he's really good. We'll deal with it. You know, that's pretty much the reaction.
I'll get you out of here on this. What do people in NBA circles make of the Ball family? Is it just that? Well, hey, look, if the kid scores 20 and 10, you know, gets 20 points and 10 assists a game, then all's forgiven. But what do people think of the father?
The father's. It's not going to impact this Ball's draft. And by the way, he's not the best Ball kid. That one's still coming up. Like, there are better kids coming up than Lorenzo. Or at least that's what I keep hearing from scouts who see more of this than I do. Those teams, though, I'll tell you, every team that's going to potentially draft him, every team that's potentially a top two, top three type of team, they have a plan, and it's, hey, we're going to draft this kid, and then we've got a marketing team and our PR team and whoever else to help deal with the dad. Like, they're putting plans in place to not let this be a distraction. The problem is, if you think about the teams who are going to be drafting at the top, with the exception of the Celtics, they're not really good at handling distractions. So They're for a reason right now. The Lakers historically were pretty good at it, but I don't know. We'll see if they get back to that or not. But you've got to be able to have the kind of locker room culture that can handle this. And, you know, if he lands in somewhere like Sacramento, Lord help us all.
Kurt Helan, Pro Basketball Talk. Kurt, we appreciate the time. We'll do it again down the road.
Hey, anytime, man. Take care.
All right, great job, Brady, with Kurt Helan, lead writer at Pro Basketball Talk, getting a little NBA in. Real quick, guys, can I just read you a message or a tweet, text, whatever I got, from the last comment I made about the Celtics, which you told me was asinine. I'll read it verbatim. Arnie, you need to stop and stop it right now. Stop acting like you've lived there the last 45 years and that it's a Boston Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox, then a Patriots town. The Patriots are last. They're a little relevant because of the Super Bowls, but they'll always be last. Stop it and stop it right now. God, what are you doing? And what the Celtics do, back in the day with Larry Bird, and she goes on and on. It says, stop being rude to my people. It is blanking getting on my nerves. So that is from Angel.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Mission accomplished.
What? All I said was that the Celtics were behind the Patriots right. And the Red Sox. What did I drop the F-bomb or something on the air?
No, you basically said the Celtics were not relevant, really, in Boston, which is preposterous.
No,
they're hugely irrelevant.
They're third. I'm just saying, if I'm Stevens, I really would want to go back home and coach a college basketball icon and stuff like that. Brady, what's going on in the Vermont Bucks? We're going to have a little football in town. What's going on?
The Bucks open up their season tomorrow. We're going to talk in Champlain Valley Game Night to Irv Bryson, who's the head coach of that team. But bottom line, they're taking on Connecticut tomorrow, 7 o'clock, St. Paddy's Day opener against Connecticut. Are you pumped for Bucks football? Because I think this is pretty cool to have a pro team in town.
I think the best thing that can happen to the Bucks right now is for UVM to lose tonight. And I know nobody wants that to happen, including the Bucks don't want that to happen. But right now, everybody's so focused on the UVM basketball team. It's like, oh, that's right, that football thing is going to start on St. Patrick's.
But if UVM wins tonight, they won't play till Saturday. So
right.
UVM, Bucks, UVM.
I think it's going to be wild there tomorrow. I suspect it'll do very well, just for the curiosity factor. And then, hopefully moving forward, that will continue.
Well, you know that I bought my wife a Buffalo Bills throwback helmet for a birthday present.
Nothing says love more than
first,
that.
Our first date was a game to the Arizona Rattlers, the Arena Football League team. So
at least it was climate
control. Yes, there you go. Well, it was very hot outside.
Well, that is romantic.
Yes, the Vermont Bucks open up their season tomorrow. When we get back, we'll get you caught up in some of the games, and we'll tell you what's going on out here in McGillicuddy's. All that's next. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Coming up tomorrow on Mike and Mike in the Morning, they're breaking down the NCAA tournament.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. Man, it is a busy day today. It's a Thursday, and, of course, we are live at McGillicuddy's in Colchester. Come on out. What are you waiting for? Thanks to our friends over here at McGillicuddy's and, of course, Baker Distributing. And with St. Patrick's Day tomorrow, all kinds of Guinness stuff going on sale, so come on by. We're also giving away Around the Golf at Basin Harbor, Rich, and it comes with a cart so your fat butt doesn't have to walk. I know you're very worried about that.
Yeah, because I golf so much.
Yes, and you don't like to walk either.
Do you golf, Arnie?
I don't like to walk.
I used to be forced to golf. I don't golf anymore because I get too frustrated. So
it is very frustrating.
Oh, it's very frustrating.
Last year, I picked it up. I played about 10 times, or six or seven times, actually. It was the first times I'd ever played. You know, some days, I think this is pretty normal. Some days, I'll hit some shots that are right down the middle and great, and other days, I'm losing 10
score?
More.
What's your best score?
On a par three, like
no,
20
not
over?
Par three. No, because I broke 100 just once.
Yeah, I did
that's
too.
It.
At
I play par threes and get like in the 50s.
I had like a 49 over at the mini golf the other day.
There you go. So anyway, we're going to be giving away the golf. Come on by. As we said, we're at McGillicuddy's in Colchester, and it's going to be packed for the UVM game against Purdue, and we're going to have that, watching that at about 7:30. Brady is going to be doing his show from 6 to 7 here. And then, of course, the pregame starting at 7 o'clock with Sam. And tip off, 7:27?
That's right.
We can't get any more specific, but though you never know with these games when they're a little bit late or anything like that. So come on by. And tomorrow, McGillicuddy's in Williston as we celebrate St. Patrick's Day. So looking forward to that. That's like your national holiday, isn't it, Richard?
This is a holiday today, and this is the perfect place to be for something like this because they literally have a television at every single booth. They've got TVs all over the place. You got five, six, seven games all going on at the same time. All you have to do is turn
your
head.
Yeah, there's four.
Well, whatever, but they have a ton of them.
Let me update some of the scores. Matter of fact, Florida now starting to pull away a little bit from everybody's upset darling, East Tennessee State. It is 51-43, Florida up by 8, 10:50 left in that one. Some of the other games, West Virginia, it looks like they're safe, even though it's an 8-point lead, under 3 minutes left in that one, 76-68 over Bucknell, which was my big upset. Early in the game, Northwestern leads Vanderbilt 14-8. I'm actually pulling for Northwestern, their first NCAA appearance ever in the school's history.
Then you got Middle Tennessee State leading by 6 over Minnesota, 34-28, coming up on halftime. Remember, Middle Tennessee State, the team that knocked off Michigan State last year in the first round. And Arnie, also just to update our listeners as well, because I've been getting phone calls about it, and that's good. If you want to hear the live action of the games, 960 The Zone, our sister station, has the games on.
That's going on right now. So, yeah, otherwise, we'll keep you updated and let you know what's going on in these games. And, of course, the pregame starting at 7 o'clock and then 7:30 or 7:27 to tip off Vermont and Purdue. And again, Vermont, a 9-point underdog in this one.
Yeah, that's not
too bad. And what do they call that in the experts pick or ESPN's percentage? They said that Vermont, the second-best chance of pulling an upset. I don't know if they're talking about seeds or point spread, but second-best chance to pull an upset or something like that.
All right, well, then let's make it happen.
Yeah, we'll see if it does. All right, hour one in the books. Wait till you see what's coming up next. Julie Foudy, former member of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. Brady had a chance to catch up with her. Interesting interview. We'll get to that coming up next. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh.